Welcome to the Realistic Healthy Living Podcast, where I share with you information that may help and support you as you work towards your own goals. This podcast can help you find a more realistic and practical approach to tackling common dietary challenges. I will be sharing some intimate interviews as well as my own insights to shed light on important nutritional and well-being topics. I'm Shani, your host and a certified nutrition consultant. I work with people seeking to look and feel better, providing them with realistic, safe, and doable solutions so they can reach their nutritional goals without giving up their favorite foods. Ready? So let's begin. Thank you for joining me in the Realistic Healthy Living Podcast. So what does healthy living mean to you? What does that concept trigger in your head? A healthy lifestyle can mean different things for everyone. For some, it may be perceived as something unattainable, thinking that such a lifestyle is way too difficult to maintain. While for some, it is already a part of what they practice regularly. I personally think that there is some kind of an ideology behind the concept of a healthy lifestyle, which makes it sound more intimidating than it really is. So in my practice as a nutrition professional, I always put an emphasis on realistic solutions. Let's admit it, life is already challenging. Why make it more with choices that sound great on paper, but may not be practical? Because healthy lifestyle is such a wide term, I thought that maybe I should dedicate the very first episode to my take on the basics of realistic healthy living. I think that the world of healthy living has become quite overwhelming. With our current ability to be exposed to massive amounts of information coming from all kinds of sources, it gets to be super challenging to try and sort through all the plethora of information in order to find what is proper, safe, and right for me and my body. And even then, after you have managed to grab the right things, these can end up being difficult to apply. If we take food, for example, you may think to yourself, what could possibly be complicated about food? You grab something to eat and you eat it. End of story. And you're absolutely right. Food is there to fuel us. Well, the thing is that humans are curious, and different from cats, our curiosity makes us dive deep into things and research and come up with conclusions. Maybe an apple can not only fuel us, but also, I don't know, reduce wrinkles, help us run marathons at 90 years old, and allow us to sleep like a baby. And you may also think, what's all the kerfuffle about when it comes to healthy living? Everyone knows we need to eat more fruits and vegetables, sleep well, exercise, reduce stress, and live a happy life. And again, you're right, that's exactly it. However, when we go into the nitty-gritty of things, all of a sudden, there are contradictions, controversial opinions, and studies that null prior studies. Because one day, a study comes out and everyone is munching on chia seeds. The next day, we're all jumping into ice-cold baths. And on the third day, retail stores cannot fulfill the demand for weighted blankets. And now we're all confused as we stand in line to buy the newest, latest, overpriced superfood. And yes, there may be occasional sarcasm in my podcast. Keeping loyal to the name of the podcast, I will make sure to keep things as realistic as possible. Now, I do realize that living realistically translates differently for every person. I get it. But my intent here is to surface the major components of a healthy lifestyle so you can pick and choose what is relevant, best, and right for you at a given moment. So here I give you an episode that, when you feel ready to invest a little more time and effort in making healthier choices, and you're asking yourself where to start, this would be your go-to episode. I have come up with what I think to be the top 7 components of healthy living. These, of course, can be broken down into further files and folders, but my intent is to keep it simple for now. The following seven components can serve as general points that we all could look into and see if emotification is in order. Whatever you decide to do, please check with your doctor first. My top and number one choice would be sleep. Now, I know there's nothing sexy about sleep. It's something we have to do every day, and for some of us, it's a chore that interrupts all the stuff we need to get accomplished. Some of us understand the importance of sleep, but for a variety of reasons, just cannot improve on it at the moment. I get it. But still, if you are wondering where to start and you have the ability or will to start with one area only, I would recommend looking into your sleep. I would like to emphasize that both quantity and quality are equally important. So if you are sleeping like a rock for 4 hours a night, or your night is 8 hours long with 4 waking up times, there is some place for improvement. I do intend to do an episode about sleep and all you need to do in order to maximize that part of our lives, but for now, I would recommend checking where things are at for you. What time are you going to bed? Is your bedtime and wake-up times consistent throughout the week? Are you comfortable in your bed? Are you too hungry or too full going to bed? What do you do in the first 30 minutes from your wake-up time? And more questions to be asked. At the end of the day, pun intended, we can make the smallest changes to our sleep, but these would be more rewarding than one may think. The second component would be our choices of foods. This subject seems to be so simple and complex at the same time that the majority of my episodes will most likely focus on it. When we think about healthy eating, some may imagine a fridge full of fruits and vegetables in a galaxy far, far away, which that's all people eat every day. And I'm here to say that's not it. That's not healthy eating. Healthy eating, in my eyes, consists of several parts. In one part, we make wholesome foods the major part of our food intake. And when I say wholesome foods, I mean fruits, vegetables, legumes, whole grains, nuts and seeds, etc. Foods that are mostly prepared at home and are minimally processed. In the other part, a much smaller one, we eat foods that feed other parts of us. A part that nourishes a feeling or brings a bunch of people together to celebrate. Or a food that surfaces a certain warm and fuzzy feeling and makes us smile. Or a food that at a certain point in time is the only solution to keep you sane. That part of our food intake could be a chocolate cake, a store-bought pizza, a colorful candy, but of course, it would not be our routine way of eating. You see, we live on this planet, and this planet has supermarkets that sell things that are not necessarily nourishing to our body, but they nourish something else in us. So fighting that and becoming possibly resentful that you can't have that food because it is not a nourishing food may fight back at some point. So yes, eat your broccoli, but once in a while when you are offered a chocolate chip cookie that was given to you with love, or you are on your way home with a hellish kind of day at work, and there is no force in the universe that could bring you to cook a meal for your loved ones or yourself, it's okay to have a takeout. Number three for me would be fluids intake. It's funny, I wanted to say water, but I changed my mind because I know far too many people who do not like water, and if I said to drink more water, they would leave this episode without listening till the end. So if you are not a water fan, hopefully you are still here because I promise to be realistic, right? Just like sleep, getting enough fluids is not sexy. Yeah, maybe you could have a real cool water bottle and toss in some pieces of the latest detoxifying fruit. But at the end of the day, you need to drink enough liquids. What is considered enough water is something that I cannot really say, as it depends on where you are in the world, your lifestyle, activity level, size, and diet. But you do need to consume enough water. Let's say that if you are an average size adult and you live in an average climate and have an average diet and lifestyle, you could probably do well with somewhere between 2 and 3 liters of water per day. Now, if we get into the type of fluids, ideally it would be water. If you absolutely dislike water, try to add something to it that would not create an unhealthy addition. For example, if you are a tea fan, that's a good way to go, but if you consume regular caffeinated tea or sweeten your tea, now you had made your liquid intake less favorable, or it could actually work against you. Another example would be sugary juices or pop, with or without added sugar. Drinks with sugar can pile up in calories and can negatively affect our overall health. Diet ones are okay calorie-wise, but may have other components that may not be favorable to you. If you like or don't mind water, then it looks to me like you have no excuse but to get enough of it. And if I may say, realizing at 9 p.m. you have not had enough water, as you are now chugging 1 liter of water before bedtime, is not a good idea. Try to sip water throughout the day. It will help your body function better. Water is in every system of our bodies, and consuming too little water can create stress on our magical bodies. The fourth component is movement. Nope, there's no need to become a triathlete. I mean, unless you want to. And maybe we should start with understanding the difference between physical activity, aka movement, and exercise. Physical activity includes washing dishes, walking up the stairs to your room, gardening, and walking through the aisles of your local supermarket. Every action that involves movement is a physical activity. Exercise, on the other hand, is a movement that is more planned, structured, repetitive, with the intention of improving or maintaining a certain level of physical fitness. Regular movement should be a part of our daily routine. Most of us walk around the house to get things done, like putting stuff away, doing some laundry, walking our pet. Some have a job that keeps them moving most of the time. Walking, lifting, farming, etc., which keeps them moving daily more than the average person. The concern is when we have a job that makes us be physically static for the major part of the day. Then, after a long day at work, we want to sit for a bit and relax with a book or an episode of our favorite show. That could lead to 10 to 12 hours a day spent sitting or motionless. So if many years ago people were active all day long due to the nature of the lifestyle we had back then, nowadays we need to create artificial opportunities to force ourselves into moving. Ideally, we should allocate time to move our body in regular daily activities, plus in activities that bring our heart rate up, potentially sweat, and create resistance in our muscles and bones. To encourage us to do so, we would be better off choosing a type of activity that would make us more inclined to do consistently, so it feels less of a chore. It may be challenging in the beginning, but if we can manage to create a routine that includes physical activity and exercise, it will become a part of our day. It doesn't have to be hours and hours of workouts. The recommended amount is about 150 minutes per week of medium to a vigorous activity, which can be done as 30 minutes 5 times a week. The fifth component of a realistic healthy lifestyle is stress management. And I think I heard you sigh. But let's talk about stress for a minute. I feel that stress is looked at in a way that is working against us. We blame stressful jobs, technology, and media to produce more stress than ever. But what about our great-grandparents who had to go through years of world wars or times in the Western world where there was no food safety? That is continuous stress that surely had a substantial impact on their well-being. My point is that stress of the modern world was probably always there. Maybe now stress had shifted from a lack to too much in the Western world. Too much media, too many processed foods, maybe too many emails to deal with within 10 minutes. So if we go back to what I wanted to share, stress got only a bad reputation. However, stress can be good in some ways. When we experience occasional stress in short bursts and for a limited time, it actually can help us become stronger and more resilient, build a better immune system, and provide us with know-how when dealing with difficult challenges. Sounds good, right? However, when stress is experienced with no breaks consistently and its levels do not come down, that's where the less favorable things happen. Our immune system can be compromised. We can become agitated more easily, develop chronic diseases, and can become less productive. Stress management can look different to you than it does to me. Some people will benefit from going for a run. Some may need a good cry. Some turn to food and some binge watch their favorite series. Clearly, we want to manage stress in a way which will benefit our health. You need to try things if you don't know what helps you reduce stress. If everyone meditates, but meditation stresses you out, maybe try something else. If you have a friend that goes to the gym to manage their stress, but that activity stresses you out, maybe going to the gym is not your cup of tea. But you do need to intentionally put in the time and practice to find what relaxes you in a healthy yet realistic way. Number 6 would be social life. When I was preparing this episode, getting to the social life part, I had this social media image in my head. I will describe it to you, so maybe try to picture this with me as I provide the details of the image. Imagine a group of 7 or 8 people in their late 20s. They're in their backyard, lit with fun string lights, wearing colorful clothes, laughing, all close together, as if this friendship has been there forever and was perfect all through the years. They clearly have a great time and living a carefree life. Do you have that image in mind? Now, I don't know about you, but I know that was not a part of my life at my 20s. Actually, it wasn't in any other age after that. What I'm saying is that social life is different for everyone, and we need to be careful to put a certain image in our head and attempt to live up to that image. Setting unrealistic goals for your social life can make you very uncomfortable and create unnecessary stress, resulting in the opposite of what you're trying to achieve. The general concept of social life can trigger anxiety for some people, while others fuel up by interacting with others. So whatever social life means to you, whether it's having occasionally a dinner party with some friends or chatting with your best friend every other day, nourish that. Invest in the social life that makes you look forward to that interaction. But some kind of social life is crucial to almost all people. Humans are social creatures in their nature, of course, some more than others. Creating and maintaining a social village that works for you can contribute to keeping your health and wellness at a good level. The seventh and final component in my realistic healthy living fundamentals would be our internal and external environment. I know it's a big word, and I would like to quickly touch on the different parts of our environment. Our own internal environment could be our physical, mental, and emotional state, which are all connected and feed on each other. If I choose to nourish my body with certain foods, my choices can have an impact on my mood, energy levels, and health. And as a result, my physiology will impact my behavioral choices. When it comes to external environment, we can look at our close surroundings like our home, place of work, where we live. We would benefit from exploring if our house is kept in conditions that can create physical or emotional stress, or does it provide us with a healthy, calming environment? Do we have a job that provides us with what we need both inside and outside that job, such as income and mental challenges? Does the area we live in provide us with opportunities to spend time outdoors safely? Does it provide enough cultural, social, and creative stimulus? As you see, when I talk about a healthy environment, I refer to both the micro and the macro circles, which provide us with answers to our personal needs. And when it challenges us, it is done in an adequate and good way. Sometimes we're so deep in our routine that we forget to look around and come up with answers to these questions, especially because our environments are so dynamic. What works for us internally and externally changes as the years go by, and adjustments should be done. So as you see, I believe that in order to truly live a realistic, healthy lifestyle, we should address the different areas of our life to allow us to experience physical, mental, and emotional comfort. Because if one area suffers, it will eventually have a domino effect on the other areas. And again, nothing needs to be perfect, but evaluate what can be improved in your life and put the time and effort into improving it. The great news is that even small improvements can have a great impact on your overall well-being. So maybe take a look at my seven components of realistic healthy living I just talked about and ask yourself, what area are you willing to work on? Maybe it's a couple of areas with little steps or one area with one larger step.
I hope this episode provided you with some value. If so, your support will really help me. Here are two simple ways to do so. The ideal and easiest way would be to click the follow sign. And if you're willing, please share my podcast with anyone you think could benefit from it. Thank you for joining me today, and I'll see you in the next episode.